The parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. It's what I've always heard it called. It's what I've preached on before. It's what a lot of things I have read call these scriptures. The lost coin and the lost sheep. I actually read a commentary this week. Strangely enough, after the bulletin was printed, that said, whatever you do, don't mention the word lost in the title of your sermon or in your opening words, because people don't like to think about being lost. And if you mention it, they will tune you out. We'll check back in. I'm not going to talk about being lost, not really. Now, I know something about myself. I'm guessing that you figured it out about me also. I tend to look at things a bit, well, I don't know if the word would be skeptical, or maybe just say that I question a lot of things. I don't necessarily jump to a positive answer the first time I hear something. I need to look at things from different angles and think and rethink, and then I can make a decision. So as you might have noticed, I sometimes look at scripture and say, what? How could that be? I don't get it. And today is no exception. I question a bit of these two stories. I taught school for 14 years. I came in from the playground and the gym and music classes, and I went on field trips, and I counted children and counted children and counted children and counted children. I see head shaking from everyone who's ever taught before. You count the whole day, making sure you haven't lost a child. I went on so many field trips that I would come home with headaches because I spent the day worried that I would lose a child. Now understand, I'm not saying that if I lost a child, I wouldn't do everything in my power to find that lost child. But first I made sure the rest of my class was taken care of before I went hunting. Or I made sure someone else was hunting while I made sure my class was okay. I just didn't want to leave the rest of the kids to wander off on their own and to be lost also. That said, I have lost many an item in my day, not children, but items in my day. I admit that. I've torn my house apart looking for things like keys on a regular basis. I've hunted, I've searched, I've been pretty relieved and excited and joyful when I found things that I have lost. But I'm guessing if I had called any one of you and said, guess what? I just found my keys. That you didn't even know I had lost. Well, you might have thought I lost more than just my keys. I worked yesterday cleaning out my closet. And I found so many things, I have wondered where that was. I wondered about them for some time, and I didn't call anyone. I didn't even call Roy to tell them I found it. Now, if I'm honest, none of the things I found were worth a whole day's wages. So they weren't really valuable. But it's interesting to me that Jesus chose these two stories that I question a little bit. They just haven't worked for me, the stories of being lost. Then I read a commentary that Fred Craddock wrote on Luke. And he talked about really looking at who Jesus is talking to. Now, first, let's think about these two parables. Here in Luke, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees who are having a problem with Jesus. And they are saying to Jesus, "Why are you hanging around with sinners? That's not the way we do things around here. We hang around with each other. You are hanging around with tax collectors and fishermen and, oh, the unclean women and people who are sick. Why do you have to hang out with them and travel with them and even sit down with them at a table and eat together?" Now, it's interesting, Matthew tells the story of the lost sheep, but Matthew tells the story to the disciples, not to the Pharisees. Matthew tells that Jesus is telling the story to the disciples because the disciples have asked, "Who's going to be the most important in heaven? Me? Who?" Now again, I question, I can't help it. Does Jesus use the same story more than once? Did he tell the same parable to the Pharisees that he told to the disciples? If that's true, there's going to be a lot of preachers who are very happy because that means we can use our sermons again. Maybe not. Did Matthew or Mark get confused about who Jesus was telling the story to? I don't know, but it really helps me to think about the Pharisees here. Maybe Jesus isn't trying to get them to think about the lost. Maybe Jesus is talking about being the seeker. You know, if you think about these two stories, the sheep and the coin, well, they really did nothing in the story. I guess you can blame the sheep for getting lost. But in my mind's video of the story, and remember that we're Baptists, so we each get to read the scripture and interpret it our own ways. So in the production that I've produced in my mind, the sheep is just wandering around, eating his grass. And he eats a little bit of grass over here. And he eats a little bit of grass over here. And perhaps he's looking in the clouds and enjoying the day. Perhaps he's following little Bo Peep or following Mary to school. But the little sheep lost track of the other sheep. And in my mind, he probably doesn't even know he's lost. He's just wandering away. And the shepherd scoops him up and carries him back. The coin, well, the coin could be, as my dad would tell me when I lost things, the coin would be right where the woman left it. It didn't crawl away. It was where she placed it. Now, maybe she dropped it at some point or pushed it under something, but it was not the coin who got lost. The coin was where it was placed. It was the shepherd and the woman who actually did something in this story. If we place ourselves in the role of the sheep or the coin, and Jesus as the seeker, then we have no role in this joyous celebration. It's about Jesus seeking and finding. But if we place ourselves as the seeker, then we become important in the story. I personally believe that God is right here with us, knowing where we are every step of our journey. It's when we seek God, it's when we recognize that we're missing something, then the rejoicing begins. Perhaps Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, when you seek me, you'll find me and will rejoice. I won't be wandering off. When you seek, I'll be right there. Perhaps Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, instead of spending all your time grumbling about all the things you find wrong with everyone, maybe you should find your own joy. Sometimes we just really have a hard time finding joy, don't we? We can certainly find all that makes us grumpy, but things that make us joyful? It's much easier to complain about something we've lost than to get in there and find it and celebrate finding it. Or maybe Jesus was saying to us, you know, it's real easy to do what's safe. It's really easy to hang around those good old Pharisees. But sitting with the sinners, that's not easy. Like finding someone to stay with the 99 sheep while you look for the one. That's the easy way, isn't it? That's the safe way. There's nothing at stake there. But going after the one while the 99 could wander off, that's putting it all on the line. Seeking the one coin, knowing that you have nine others, but giving your all to finding the one lost coin, that's going all in for me. And when we go all in and see the results, we rejoice because we've been used by God. We're allowing ourselves to give it all, to be all in. 15 years ago today, Willis Crowther, 24-year-old man, went to work like every other day. He went to his job as an equities trader at the World Trade Center. After the second tower was hit, the one he was in, he made a phone call to his mother and he said, "Mom, I'm okay. I'm leaving the building." And he went to find the steps to safety, and he saw a group of people who were injured and hurting, and he picked one of the women up and he got the other group together and he took them down the stairs and he went out the building. He got them to safety and then he turned around and he went back in. And he went back up many, many flights of stairs, and he found more injured and more hurt, and he brought them down the stairs and he got them outside and he turned around and he went back in. And he did that over and over again. On that day, this talented, athletic, good-natured, but in a lot of ways ordinary person did an extraordinary thing. Willis physically carried 18 people to safety while directing hundreds to safety. The easiest thing for him to do would have been to get out, to get safe, and to watch as the first responders rescued who they could. He had that opportunity, over and over. He could have been a hero just helping that first group out. That would have been the easiest thing to do. But he went back in. Over and over and over. Six months later, Wells' body was recovered from the tower. A 24-year-old man who lost his life, seeking those who needed help, who were lost. His body was found with many other firefighters trying to rescue. We don't know where or when we'll be needed each day. Wells certainly wasn't the only person on that day 15 years ago who did the hard thing, but he's an example of a person who went all in, not counting the cost. But I imagine rejoicing in all that were lost but found, and those who were guided to safety. I imagine that Wells probably rejoiced in a different way, from a different view. But we can rejoice in the lives that were saved that day. May we be people who are willing to not count the cost, but to be all in, to give completely, not counting the risk, but seeking the joy that is found in being a child.